Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. We call it our New Year's edition. It's Sean and Joe. We're going to delve a little bit into this sort of fascination that we all have with, you know, January 1st or 2nd when, you know, all is new. We retired the old. I mean, Instagram has really done a lot with this with the 2000 turning into 2024. But I think we want to get into a little bit of, you know, maybe in this new leap year where we have an extra day. You know, how do we think differently about how we start the year? I, you know, Sean can tell you that for sure I've amped up my plan and I've actually embarked on using some new tools, even if they're a piece of paper and a pencil, to really keep myself accountable. So why don't we dive into that? But anyway, Happy New Year, Sean. How are you feeling? How's it going, man?
Happy New Year, Joe. I am excited that we're 5 miles away from each other. I almost called you earlier this morning and said, let's do it in person. But, you know, we'll get that in-person energy. We'll be able to run together, train together. And I got to say, Joe, we spoke just before the new year and you really inspired me, right? Because I hear a lot of people that say, oh, what's your New Year's resolution? And a lot of what I've been hearing is, you know, just do what you're going to do now. Like, that's what I was hearing in November and December. You don't need to wait till Jan 1. Get after it now. And when I was like, Joe, you know, New Year comes around, you're going to set fitness goals, sign up for stuff. You're like, yeah, I already signed up for a 200-mile bike ride, 100-mile race. Like, that stuff happened. Like, you didn't have to wait for Jan 1 for that. And, you know, that's something that I think is important, right? And now that it's after Jan 1, I guess the purpose to get out there is action's more important than thinking, right? Thinking's required, but action's the only thing that really matters.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that for a lot of people who are listening, maybe you're new to this idea of, you know, having annual goals or quarterly goals or monthly goals. And then there's some of us who've been on this journey for a long time and continue to think about that it's really just an opportunity to work on these critical skills that pay off in life in general, you know, building a plan, following through on a plan, having goals and objectives that, you know, you measure yourself to, and figuring out how to work through the obstacles that are just going to come up in your life. You know, I want to save money for retirement. I want to save money for my kids to go to college. You have to start saving on a monthly basis. You have to invest money. You have to keep track of it. You have to, you know, all of these concepts, and we talk about fitness a lot, but they're life concepts. And in a life concept that practices the discipline to the goals, to the achievement, you know, just changes, you know, both how we feel and what we get done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And action's really the way, right? Action's what we end up doing. You know, something that you were just talking about there, right? You're talking about like when you mentioned like saving for like a kid for college, for some reason I had this picture painted of like, you know, that's something that you do for 18 years if you start right away, or 18 years or whenever you start. And, you know, it just reminded me how important the journey is to the outcome. Cause like me personally, like I don't have kids, but like my plan is going to be to talk to them about that as a young kid, right? That like, not to make their life too serious, but like, hey, like this is something like I'm saving for, like, what do you want to do with it? I mean, like, you know, what degree do you want? And I guess my point is turning something into a journey, right? You know, for example, one of my goals this year is I'm going to write and publish a book. And my friend goes, Sean, like there are these ghostwriters out there. You can give them 8 concepts, an intro and outro and a story about each concept, and they can write it, you know, and you can do all that in one day. And that's an awesome approach, right? That's one great approach. But I was like, you know, I want to write a book because I want to experience writing a book, you know, like I want to sit down for hours and dive in and relive and like all the stuff that comes with writing a book. And, you know, I think if you guys don't have clarity on your goals for 2024 yet, and that's something you're working through, think about something that you'll enjoy the process, right? If it's running, you know, Joe is a very busy man. He's a father. He's a CEO. He has a personal brand. He does a lot. He's an advisor to countless people. He's a mentor to me. And I know one of the most important things is your daily run. And it's like, I think I'm speculating. I think you're signing up for these races. So there's just no negotiation. No, I have to wake up and get my run in, you know? Yeah. And like, you know, when your wife, your kids, your colleagues, when everyone wants your time, it's like, no, I have to get this in. And then, you know, and then we'll get to the other stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's an architecture of life. You know, I don't like to use this language as like a casual way of saying, oh, I just love the journey kind of, you know, not the outcomes. That's a cynical view of really what we're talking about here, right? We're all living. We have a lot of capacity and capability. You know, how do you want to use it, right? This is really a very personal decision. You want to use the capacity you have? You can have great outcomes. Give yourself time, they get even better. You show up better for yourself. You show up better for everyone. It's actually very self-serving in a really good way. And so I love the journey, but I like living. I mean, that's just a language kind of thing. What I've found over the years was that every time something felt slightly uncomfortable that I reached for, I achieved it. And so the setting of goals, you know, is about sort of pushing yourself out of that comfort zone. We understand this all the time. We hear this language. But what would that mean to you? You know, does that mean getting up a little bit earlier, you know, to journal, to do yoga, to walk around the block? Like, what would make you feel a little uncomfortable relative to where you are today? And after all these years, Sean, I found a few, like I signed up both for the 200-mile bike ride and the 100-mile run very close to each other. So now I have to add cycling in to my running. I have to figure that out. You know, I'm on the sort of also building more muscular strength. And so I was like, okay. So what I did was I said, all right, for the month of January, what do I need to accomplish? And then I divided by the number of days and I have a daily goal. And then sleep and nutrition have to get factored in because they're going to matter. How much work I'm going to do. So it really becomes this highly integrated life that I enjoy, because then you get a good outcome. And then, you know, on December 31st, I got my push-up goal met for last year. We know it was sort of a silly goal.
Tell people about that.
I set out to do 100,000 push-ups. I ended up doing 110,000 push-ups. And I thought that when I finished, it was like, wow, it felt like it went by quickly. I remember some really hard days in the middle. I got really good at doing it. I'm going to do even more this year. I didn't just stop because I met this goal. But what I loved about it was how it affected how I used my time every day and in a productive and positive way. And I think that that's what happens. That's why the annual goals are good. The weekly goals are great too, but the annual ones are great because they sort of keep you accountable for a longer period of time. Then you reset and then you say, okay, you know, so I have a goal to do 150,000 push-ups this year. So I go up from 300 to 410. I thought, wow, imagine in 2 years if you did 2 push-ups. That would have been a lot of time on the ground, right? But it sort of sounds fun, keeps me fit and energized and, you know, just knowing that there's more. I haven't found any limits. I'm sure you haven't. Let's just keep doing this.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I just did. I signed up for the big ass calendar club with Jesse Etzler. Mm. And it's basically a huge calendar map out and to proactively plan your year. And I loved what he said. And it was every year, sign up and have one. And a masogi is your year defining moment. You know, so for me, I'm going to write and publish a book this year. You know, for someone, it could be, you know, run your first 5K. And I like what you're talking about. It changes how you spend time every day. Because again, the reason I want to write and publish a book is I want to spend more time working on this than my body. Yeah. And it's going to force me to spend 1 hour, 5 days a week. I think that's what it's going to take. 1 hour, 5 days a week to write a book, edit it, publish it, do the research behind it. It's about manufacturing happiness, which those are supposed to be words that sound funny next to each other. And, you know, I love reading about this stuff, but I don't do it. I love making tea, lighting a candle, going into a room and writing about it. And I don't spend much time doing that. So I'm like, how can I force myself to research and write on a topic I love? I'll just start telling people, I'm writing a book this year. I'm writing a book this year. You got to buy it in December. And, you know, it's kind of that social contract that's helping me out.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, when I did the same number of years ago, I was reluctant because I thought, you know, oh my gosh, I don't want it to be about me. And like, who wants to read it anyway? I actually think that what you just described as the real reason to write the book is it's for you. You know, you get smarter, you get more thoughtful, you'll become a better writer, you'll work on that skill, which you, you know, heretofore haven't worked on that much. And you just get better by doing something. There's no question about it. So I encourage you. I don't know if 5 hours a week will get you there. It depends on how many pages and how many words you're trying to write. But I think the key that I would say is this. You have to be willing to delete lots of sentences and paragraphs that you wrote if you want to write anything good. Because you have to know that first attempt isn't that good and it can only get better. But if you hold on to the words too tightly, then you probably aren't getting the best out of yourself that you could.
I appreciate that. Something I've been thinking about this year is transferable knowledge. And I'm thinking about how that transfers to like other goals of mine, like holding on too tightly to something, being like emotionally attached, which is an interesting one because the whole reason we're doing it is so we can be emotionally attached. But, you know, and the way I've always thought about emotions with goals is to not attach them to the outcome as much as the process and to always just be open for change. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that because, and like talking about writing, I know what you're saying. Like I've sometimes like wanted to put things in stories of like blogs and I've showed Emma and she's like, it doesn't really fit.
Yeah, I think so. We have to always remember what we're doing this stuff for, right? We're not trying to be popular on Instagram. We're not trying to do this because we want attention. We're actually just trying to show up as better humans by leveraging our capabilities so that we can be a better member of community, a better member of our family, better member of the places that we work and the people we interact with. Because the more you develop into a thoughtful and reasoned person who has a lot of experience, the better others will get from that who might not have done that. So, you know, even if you wrote a book and only 17 people bought it, someone else might talk to you about the process and you would have had something to say as a result. And so it's not that you're the, you know, the New York Times bestseller. Sure, that would be awesome. Like, not a bad thing. But it can't be the reason, is then we'll actually maybe sometimes be just too disappointed. So just keep working on excellence in your head and your heart, your body, your soul, the way you show up. You know, if we have everyone doing that, imagine what the world would be like. And I think people still need some role models because the world isn't so simple. You can help role model in your community and in broader community. And the reason you and I hang out together is because the reflection back and forth between us gets us more energized, you know, because it's like, you know, the attraction of the magnets and they get more powerful when that happens. And so yeah, it'd be great because I will be doing a lot more writing this year as well. In addition to my daily writing, you know, I wrote a couple articles over the holiday and, you know, it's just fun to say I'm going to write 1,000 words and just figure that out.
Yeah. You really have tremendous discipline, Joe, but I think you're the way that you like think about things, it shows that I don't want to say it comes easily because I think that's something you could take as like an insult almost. Like I want to say that like you've built the mental framework to make it come from the right spot, right? So like, you know, something that I could relate to is exercise. For me, exercising hard every day, like it's so deep in me. Like I just know like this is going to make me feel better, be a better person, live longer, enjoy life more, like everything. So just like now it's like I look at it as something exciting. Actually, I used to work with a bunch of behavioral scientists and I worked for this company called Fabulous that came out of Dan Ariely's behavioral science lab at Duke University. And he talked about the way to program yourself to build new habits. On the front end, it's to make it easy, right? So make it easy, make it simple. So if you're going for a run, it's lay your shoes out the night before, understand where you're going to run, where you're going to go, have your water bottle there, have your cell phone set up, you know, so your favorite song's ready to play with your headphones next to it. And just set a small goal. So like your goal is get your shoes on, get your headphones in, grab your water bottle, step outside, lock the door. That's your whole goal. And get 100 feet away from the house. That's the entire goal. Because motivation starts after you start something. But then he talked about like a little mindfulness type practice that every time you finish something that you want to turn into a habit, reflect on it as it's like a beautiful thing, right? So when you finish writing, think about, wow, that was like fun to create. I put something into the world. I learned, I enjoyed the process. Like sit there, think about that, feel it for a second. And the next time you go think about writing, those emotions are going to be attached to it. And I played around with that a little bit, specifically with meditating, actually even more so with ice baths. Those, you know, I do them regularly, Joe, you know, and every time I got out, I would just sit for a second and be like, damn, like I feel alive, awake, charged up. I know this is good for me. And just like bask in that. And then I start to get, like, if I go like a day or two, I'm kind of like scoping out my next chance for an ice bath or at least a really cold shower or something. And I don't know, if you're struggling with building a habit, you could try those two things. You know, it's like for the ice bath, the whole goal is just, you just need to get in, right? Like that's the simple part. And then building it on the end. And I'm sure that'll build over time.
Well, you know, what you're talking about is so interesting. You know, throughout human history, we have found natural resources that allowed us to expand what's possible. So, you know, we figured out how to make fire. Oh, wow, that was amazing. You know, we found fossil fuels. We found precious metals. We figured out how to invent something. And we kept finding these natural resources that would allow us to do more. And one of the natural resources that we also have, and we've increased on the planet, is people. That's a natural resource that has all of this capability. And so if you are going to go mine for gold, it's not that dissimilar from Sean mining himself to actually pull more out of the ground or pull more out of yourself, because it's sitting there waiting to be used. You know, I often thought, you know, if you ran, and I know we always use running because it's just an easy metaphor, but if you ran 25 days in a row and you didn't run on the 26th day, where would all that energy go that you would have used? Like, it's still sitting inside you. It's latent energy. We have that for every one of the skills: writing, reading, communicating, exercising, eating. All these things are sitting in wait because this body is a very, very powerful resource. So as we think about this year and, you know, why a new year is a good thing, hey, every once in a while, it's good for a reset. It's always fun, you know, to say, hey, everything I did, I'm starting over. I'm a beginner. And if you think about that, your goal this year is to, you know, become a better resource navigator, then you would do activities that would pull those resources and make them show up better. It's about hanging out with people. It's the practices you do. It's, you know, looking in the mirror and saying, you know, do I feel good about myself? Every time we do that, we just improve the probability of a long, happy, beautiful life.
Yeah. You got me thinking, like, where does that energy go, right? And I want to hear your thought on it, but I want to share a pretty, you know, deep experience I had in 2023 that I relived yesterday, actually. And in 2023, I held two retreats. That's not true. I held one retreat, two retreats. And on the last day, we do a blindfolded 4-hour meditation, and you're not allowed to move a muscle, not like a muscle, not a wink, nothing. And you know, it's a 4-day retreat. This is on the last day. So there's a lot of preparation that goes into this. And I noticed what would happen would be, I would, you know, I'd be thinking about something, and this was right after Emma hurt her knee, right? So I'd be thinking about something, or hopefully just focusing on my breath, but you know, the mind wanders. And then a thought would come in my head. So it was like a big thing between me and Emma. It was right after her surgery, but I'd been planning this. So I flew and I was away from her for 10 days. And I thought came in my head, I was like, damn, did I let Emma down? Like, she came out of surgery a few days ago and I just left, right? And I didn't work on that. I didn't get through that thought. I had that thought and then it went away, right? And about 20, 30 seconds later, I was actually thinking about something else. I had this tremendous urge to move. Like, no, I can't move. And you know, Joe, your mind goes crazy. Like, my back started getting tight, right? And this is like embarrassing to say, but this is what went on in my head. I know you're leading this meditation. You should lead by example, Sean, but you're like a serious athlete. You need to move your body. Laying still is not good. So I'm going to move, but like no one else can. That's what I thought. And I literally like almost like the energy was in my body. I almost went to move. And then I caught myself. I was like, what are you saying? Like, what are you thinking? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, just the rule is no matter what, you just stay still. So that actually happened a few times. And I caught on to a pattern that I would have like an anxiety inducing thought. And then I would get this energy buildup, right? And then I would get the ego to give me a way out, right? Mm-hmm. A way out that makes me the super athlete that has to get special treatment, right? And, you know, I was meditating on New Year's Eve and I was just trying to feel some gratitude for this last year. And I was sitting there and the same thing happened. I started thinking about work and I was in like a deep meditation. I was just following my breath. I started thinking about work and I went back to my breath, and maybe I went back to my breath for 5 breaths. And I literally put my hands on the ground and turned to get up, because I knew my desk was over this way, to go work completely subconsciously. right? Yeah. And that was that anxiety creating, you know, like energy. And the way that I look at it, and that energy was like, you know, not what I was intending to do. And the way that I at least look at it is energy, like we need to focus on directing it towards creative outlets, family, relationships, exercise. Like we need to be very careful because the energy will come out of us. And I think it'll come out of us in anxiety or anger, you know, rage, like whatever. And you know, that's what came to my mind when you were saying like that energy is still in you no matter what. That's something, yeah, I've been really trying to just be aware, like where the energy I have is deriving from.
Yeah. And I think there's no easy answer. And I think that there is a bit of practice. And, you know, look, if you said someone sit for 4 hours and they made it to an hour, that's success too. You know, that we, and it's great if you made it to 4 hours. But I think as we go through this journey that, you know, or live our lives, you know, sometimes it's actually putting the best intention for that moment and then building on top of that and continuing to build that until you're capable of doing more. Because the system will adjust in the beginning. There's reasons the feedback system works the way it does. But this homeostasis, this state of balance can grow to a higher level through the activities that we take on. That's these practices. It's being part of our community. It's, you know, showing up the right way. So I think as we think about 2024, you know, that maybe we'll just try and end in a minute here. But the piece that I wanted to just touch on is why do we make these commitments and then not follow through? Because we made them. You know, what is it that we haven't considered? Because that's really what it is. We haven't considered fully the implications. And so therefore, maybe we have to either dial them back a little bit or figure out whatever strategies we're going to use to get there. Because we did think they were a good idea.
Yeah.
We made them.
I don't know anyone on the planet is fit to fully answer this question. I'm going to give you my best go. And there's a couple things, and I know we're going to wrap up quick. So I'm going to kind of, I'll say one is understanding your why you're doing something. Mm-hmm. Are you doing it just for the outcome, the money, the fame? You're going to hit a roadblock and that's not going to be a good enough answer. I think another thing is literally like planning and committing from an organizational, like tangible standpoint, but also from like a psychological standpoint. You know, like, sorry, mom, if you're hearing this, but my mom called me on December 30th. She wanted to make a career change, start a new business. She was excited. She had this idea. I said, Mom, I think like this would be a great step. She said, yeah. And then like I called her a couple hours later. I'm like, are you working on it? Because it was like the holidays and she was actually by herself, right? So I was like, that's like a dream come true. Like you got time and energy to focus on this. And she was like, no, you know, I think I just want to use the day to hang out. And I said, Mom, one of my mentors, Joe, says something to me all the time that if you want to do something different, you have to do something different. And I was like, I understand that you're naturally inclined to do what you were going to do and you usually do, but you want to do something different. So you have to, you know, do something different. And like a lot of times people let their current emotional state be the decision maker. And that can't be, and sorry for going a little long here, but the thing that I would say most proud of and happy to talk about is like waking up in the morning. So my rule is you don't snooze and you pop up when your alarm is. Joe, 364 to 365 days a year, I wake up, my alarm goes off and I go, you know, you worked out so hard, cut your workout down 45 minutes and you get 45 minutes of rest. Or I know you blocked out that hour for creativity. You really don't need that today. You've been so good with that sleep another hour. And I tell myself the same thing every morning, like, thanks for sharing, Sean, but you're not allowed to make a decision like that in the moment. And I just, that's just a hard, fast rule of mine is I can't make decisions like that in the moment because we're going, I don't want to say we're going off our emotions because emotions should play a role ultimately, but we're going off of our we're going off of like our current emotional state versus like our long-term emotional state.
Yeah. You wouldn't just sell a stock today because it's what happened today. You'd look at the history and the possibilities. You'd have to consider a much broader view. Yeah, I'll just add this to finish up. I think that the biggest issue is we actually don't consider all the other, what we've committed to in our lives and how we live. And so I think a simple practice, I was talking to one of our friends over the holiday about, you know, wow, you seem so excited about so many additional ideas that you're not going to get done what you need to. So why don't we just write down how we want to architect a day, a week, a month? Use time as a proxy or just use the priorities as a proxy. You know, we can do this pretty fast and just take a pen and a paper and just write it down and say, okay, if I wanted this to happen, this is what I would have to do. Rather than just writing the goal down, actually say, oh, I would have to do, you know, I want to go get my master's degree. Oh, that means I need to study 20 hours a week. Okay, well, where is the 20 hours coming from with all the other stuff that I was doing? I wasn't sort of sitting around with nothing to do. So the practicality of it, just put yourself through it just as if it was any other project that you were working on, school, work, or otherwise. And you'll start to, through that process, see the viability of the goals that you set for yourself. And then maybe just dial it back a little bit. You know, the fast math, 168 hours in a week. Well, if we all slept 7 hours a day, you know, that's 56 hours. If I'm working 40, that's 96 hours I've used up of my 106. If I have 20 because I'm, you know, walking to the car, going to the bathroom, taking a shower, you know, I'm up to 118. Start doing this, I start to realize maybe I only have 30 hours left to do all of this. Is that enough? So there is different ways and techniques that make it practical so that we can achieve our objectives. And then, you know, write yourself a note every night and every day, say, I achieved this, you'll feel good about it. Get in a community of people who are similar and like-minded, who will support you. It's okay if we only get 90% of our goals done. Boy, that would be a lot more than what we would have done otherwise. And life is pretty darn good.
Joe, you really synthesize these thoughts down very well. So thank you so much for that. I want to wrap up on a thought that I've really been thinking about rim to rim to rim to rim.
Yes.
With you. You know, we've been thinking about what to do.
Yep.
Kind of think late March, April timeframe. Mm-hmm. Good weather. I know I'm springing that on you live on this call, but I think it's 80 miles and 20 climb. So mm-hmm. If that feels good to you, that'll be a goal we set and we could talk to people about the journey along the way.
All right. I'm ready. Sean, this is great. Happy New Year to everyone. Make 2024 the best year yet. And come chase tomorrow with us. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Joe.